If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, and we're going to get to there in a few minutes. We had a lot going on this morning, so it is a little bit later than normal, but we are going to bring the word still. Is that all right? All right. Not that you hadn't had the word already. My message is, I think it's up there, change your words, change your world. Words have power. At times, just a few words have power. How many of you have gotten yourself into trouble with just a very few words? Anybody? Husbands, you should all raise your hand. If you are a husband, go ahead and raise your hand. You just did. You got in trouble with your spouse, you got in trouble with your wife, you got in trouble with your children, you got in trouble with your boss. Whatever you said in the middle of it, you realized at the end by the countenance on their face that you were in big trouble. I've made some really big mistakes in my time. When I was in Cedar Hill, Texas, I won't tell you the whole story, it's too long, but a student had told me something about another church, and I was going to be the bearer of righteousness from my town. Those things don't happen in other churches in my town, so I'm going to stand up for Jesus. I'm going to go, and I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to call that pastor and set him straight. And I did just that. Well, unfortunately, the bad thing about it was the student did not tell the truth. So here I am, and I didn't tell the pastor about it. I told the secretary about it, which was terrible even that. So then the pastor's freaking out, and he calls me. Let's just say he wasn't very happy with me. And the moment he opened his mouth, I realized I did something really stupid. And I just said, man, I'm sorry. I can't tell you. I can tell you for 3 nights, I did not sleep, begging God to forgive me. Now, the fact of the matter is God forgave me the moment I asked him to. I just couldn't forgive myself. I mean, I was so upset. As another pastor in town, I knew better. I just did a stupid thing. Anybody ever done anything similar? Like, oh my. It's called foot and mouth disease. I believe there's a picture of it up here, right there, right there. There, right? No, not that hand. Go. I didn't do him. Okay, go. Next. There we go. Foot and mouth disease. It's right there. Now, let me tell you, is Robin in here? I think she's in the nursery. Good, we can talk about her. Let me just say, my wife is an amazing cook, okay? So I'm not complaining about her cooking because it's good, okay? But many years ago, when Pastor Adam was the youth pastor at Life Church and I was pastoring there, my mother made a birthday cake for me. It was a Texas cheesecake. Anybody had ever eaten a Texas cheesecake? Raise your hand. A few of y'all, man, it's the best cake in the world. It's like super fattening, but it's good. And so it's amazing. And so my mother made it. Pastor Adam said, man, this is the best cake I have ever ate in all my life. I mean, he just went on and on and on. So the following year, we're having the birthday cake again. So Robin decides to make the birthday cake. And so we give it to Pastor Adam, and Pastor Adam goes, and he does not intentionally being mean. He just said, you know, this doesn't quite taste like it did last year. And Robin's like, thanks a lot, Adam, because I made it, not my mother-in-law. So the third year, we thought we would trick him. Robin made the cake again, but we told him that my mother-in-law made it. He's like, oh, good. It's going to be good this year. Yeah. So we give him the plate. He tries it, and we're like, what? Is it as good as you remember 3 years ago? And he's like, not really. And Rob was like, because I made it again. He felt so bad because it definitely had a foot in mouth moment. One word, sometimes a sentence, has the power to affect people's lives. Think of it this way. Genesis 1:3, God spoke and there was light. Think about this for a moment. Everything you see in the creation of this word, this world was spoken by the word. Just the word happens to be the word of God. Words are powerful. There's a phrase that you know it well. It goes like this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Let me tell you, that is a lie. Words hurt. Words demean. Words tear down. Words kill. In fact, just this week, if you watch the news, I love watching the news. I read the news. I watch the news. And not this week, a few months ago, there was a girl who went to prison, not because she killed her boyfriend with a knife, not because she killed him with a gun, because she convinced him to kill himself with merely her words. Her words destroyed him. Hear this, I cannot remember the boy who pushed me in the hallway, but I do remember Donnie Monacy, who called me a name on the school bus. I busted him in the lip. And I got a whipping by the PE coach the next day. I do remember the people who spoke boldly into my life. I remember the girl by the name of Cindy Bailey. I remember the woman by the name of Jeannie Wolf. I remember the man by the name of Frank Estes and Dennis Easter, whose words and tools equipped, encouraged, motivated me, and prepared me for all that God wanted me to be with their words. Words are so powerful. When Robin and I had children, we decided to name our children powerful names. We studied them. My firstborn is Joshua Aaron. Joshua means Jehovah or God saves. Aaron means to enlighten. So our prayer over him was he would enlighten the world that Jehovah saves. Victoria somewhere, she's going back to college today. She must be in the nursery. Her name is Victoria Joy. Victory and joy, powerful names. And then we have Erica. There she is right there. Her middle name is Ruth. And why is it Ruth? Because what did Ruth say to Naomi? When Naomi was heading back to the promised land, she said, "Your God would become my God. Your people would become my people. And wherever I go, wherever you go, I will go." And that was the legacy of a 3-year-old child. The moment we adopted her, my God became her God. My people became her people. And wherever we would go, she would go with us. And then there's Kaylee. We didn't name Kaylee Isabel, but Isabel means devoted to God. Powerful. And then we have the last edition, Avia Hope. Hope is obviously, it's hope, but Avia is powerful. It's the female form of Abijah in the Bible, and it means my father is God. May she always remember that her father, her dad, is God, and he will always watch over her. Powerful names. Every time I speak the name over them, I speak life over them. I don't do it as much now. We still pray. My kids, we pray every night together before they go to bed. But I used to, especially with Josh and Tori, when they were much younger, I used to tell Tori, that was definitely before I had 4 girls, when I only had 1 girl. And I would tell Tori, I said, "Tori, if you could line all, if God allowed me to line all the little girls of the world in one line and said you could pick any of them, which one would I pick?" She goes, "You would pick me, Dad." Why did I do that? Because words are powerful. I remember going up to my kids and say, "Hey, has anybody told you they love you today?" "You have, Dad." Why? Because words are powerful. Change your words and you'll change the world. I have 3 quick points. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking pretty harsh words. He's actually speaking to the Pharisees. It's pretty powerful. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, if you will. Jesus always rebuked the religious people, but he gave grace to the humble. And this is what he's doing here. Starts with pretty strong words. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. Verse 37, and by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I want to break that out just a moment. Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees, and in verse 34 he says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. What you speak comes from deep within. There is a psychological term when we slip out a word that we didn't intend to say. It's called a Freudian slip. It literally is defined by an unintentional error regarded as revealing a subconscious feeling. It simply means what came out came from the depth of within you. If you find yourself always complaining about life and you wonder why, maybe there's some junk that's deep within you that still needs to be healed. If you find yourself always complaining and saying negative things about yourself, perhaps your mind has learned of who you are in Christ, but your heart is still in a process of getting there. Have you ever been around people that when they speak of themselves, it is always in negative terms, even believers at times? Perhaps there's still some work going on. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You slam your finger with a hammer. This word that you hadn't said in years comes out. Where did that come from? There's still some junk way down there that needs to come out. Verse 37, it says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What does that mean? Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. Salvation doesn't just come from the lips. The Bible says it comes from the heart, but it's confessed with our lips. Verse 37, the meaning of that, your words, your confession from your heart can speak the life of Jesus, or you can reject it. The question for us today is, what are you speaking over your life? What are you speaking over others? Change your words and you'll change your world. Our words can be a destructive force or a very productive force. Turn with me to James chapter 4. We're going to turn to one other scripture after this, but James chapter 3, verses 4. James chapter 3. You know this verse. Look at the ships, as they are so large and are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by the very rudder wherever the pillars, the pilot desires. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And a tongue is a fire, our world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. James says, the tongue is like a rudder of a boat. Right there. That is the largest ship in the entire world. It is 4 football fields long. And you can go to the next one. That rudder is pretty big, but in comparison, the 4 football fields long, it is small. And the Bible says what a small part of our body can be so destructive. Our mouths. What does it make up? Just a small, tiny percentage of who we are. And yet it is so destructive. The next slide, it talks about in the verse that how just even, the verse doesn't talk about cigarettes, but even a small little cigarette can ignite a fire. That's what our words do. Moms and dads, your words speak life over your kids. Your words can be a destructive force over kids. They will become what you speak over them. Tell them they are stupid and they will feel very stupid. Tell them they are ugly and they will feel very ugly. Tell them they are loved and they will feel loved. Tell them who they are in Christ. They will begin to live that out. Y'all remember Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans? In 2 days, Houston inherited 200,000 people. We were just planning Life Church at the time, and we began to serve in a hotel. We housed a family, actually two different families in two different houses, one house and one a trailer. And we just served the best way we could. And there were many wonderful people that came to our city as a result of that calamity of that city. But there was one guy who came. I didn't know him, but he was on the news. Within the first 2 months he was here, he killed three people. They caught him, put him in prison. And on his forehead, he had tattooed, "Be stupid." Now, he made that choice to kill three people. He deserved the discipline and the punishment that he deserved. But somewhere along the line, perhaps his even parents told him he was stupid. He believed it, and he began to live it out. And it cost three people their lives. Our words that we speak over people can be a productive force or a destructive force. This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 26:20. You don't have to look it up. I just want to read it very quickly. Where there was no wood, the fire goes out. And where there was no talebearer or no gossiper, strife ceases. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The question for you, which of the two are you? Are you a productive force, or are your words a destructive force? Number three, change your words, change your world. Our words speak life and death. The one last scripture I want you to turn to is in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 52. Let me just tell you what's going on. First of all, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's getting ready to be crucified eventually. He's going with his disciples up to Jerusalem. They stop at a Samaritan village, and this is what happens. And they sent messages before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey of Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did?" Verse 55, and Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Jesus rebuked them. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you can't do that"? He didn't say that they didn't possess the power to call down fire. He said, "No, you have the wrong heart. Man, I didn't come to kill these people. I came to redeem these people. I didn't come to be mean to them. I came to love them. I came to be salvation to them." Understand this. The words that you speak, you don't speak only in the natural, but you speak in the spiritual. What the disciples were asking of Jesus, they were not just asking for words to be spoken of in the natural, but they were expecting something new, supernatural would happen. If we believe in angels, if we believe in the demonic, if we believe in heaven and hell, we must understand that there was a spiritual realm beyond us. The Bible says, confess with your mouth naturally, but we believe something supernatural happens. We get saved, we get born again, our names are listed in the book of life. Something very supernatural happens. So what is spoken in the natural, something happens in the supernatural. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now let me read you this verse out of the Message. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Think about that. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak in the natural affects the things in the supernatural. When we speak life over someone, we're not just speaking in the natural, but we are speaking things in the supernatural. When we speak negative words over someone that brings harm, things in the supernatural are taking place. When that bully at school tells that kid he's stupid or he should harm himself, those things aren't just spoken in the natural, because you know what that kid will do? He'll go home, and when he lays in bed at night, what will that enemy do? The enemy will be able to speak lies. See? Everybody hates you. Nobody likes you. See, you are stupid. Yeah, you are. You don't even deserve to be on the face of this earth. What was spoken in the natural, the enemy uses in the supernatural. We have to realize that our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. How you speak to your children will be life and death to them. If you speak death, harsh words, demeaning words, negative words, you are creating that in your children. They'll forever, but by the healing power of God, be reminded from the enemy of those words. One time I met a woman, I think she was 76 years old. She began to tell me her story, and I walked out of that house that day realizing, as a 76-year-old woman, she was still living out words that were spoken when she was 5 and 6 and 7. The destructive words of her childhood carried her entire life. Our words are powerful. Speak life over yourself, not death. Now, if you're sick, now hear me this, there's a balance to that. I'm not a hyper faith kind of person, so if I'm sick, I think I should be honest with myself. You know, if I got a cold, I could say, I got a cold, but then we can add faith to that. But by the power of Jesus, he has made me whole and well. I think that was the example of Paul. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, whether that was physical or emotional or spiritual. The Bible doesn't elaborate on it, but I don't see Paul walking around going, you know, I don't have anything wrong with me. No, Paul said, I got a thorn in my flesh, but he didn't let it define him. I think we should be a people that speak truth, but speak the Spirit of God over us. Everyone needs encouragement for others. Everyone. That man that says, man, I don't need anybody to encourage me. Let me tell you, that man needs somebody to encourage him. Everybody needs people to speak life over them. We should speak life over the dead things in our life. We should speak the word over the things that need to change in our life, in our marriage. Don't deny the issue. You can be honest with yourself, but you don't need to say, I guess this is my lot in life. I guess this is what I have to endure for the rest of my life. I guess this is why I... No! You can say, God has called my husband or my wife to grow in the Lord. He or she may not be there yet, but they'll get there. Finances. Don't say, well, I guess I just got to be in a rut. Everything just happens to me. It always happens to me. A kind of one problem, and here and there my car breaks down. It's just I'm just got bad luck. Don't say anything like that. You need to begin to apply the principles of the Word of God that He speaks about finances, and the Bible says a lot about finances. And if we would apply His principles from the Word, God will bless us. Bless us. Please don't ever say, well, I'm sick. You know, my grandmother died of cancer, so I'm probably going to die of cancer too. How many of you ever heard anybody say that? I've heard a lot of people say, yeah, my grandmother, she died of cancer, so I guess probably I'm going to die of cancer too. Man, don't speak that over yourself. By the grace of God, I am healed. By His stripes, I am healed, and I am made whole. Walk in that. Change your words. You'll change your world. I want you to watch this video. I'm almost done. There's about a one-minute video. I think we got words to it now. We got sound. Yeah. Watch this.
Sign.
I wrote the same, but in different words.
Thanks, love.
You can turn it off. She said the same words. They both said the same thing. She just said it a different way. And it changed everything. Perhaps the words that we speak, it doesn't mean we can't say those words. If we need to speak correction in someone's life, perhaps it doesn't mean that we ignore it. I guess you're just saying I'm not supposed to address anything. No, I'm not. If there needs to be discipline, we need to speak life into that. Perhaps we could change our words and become more effective in who we are. A lot of times when we speak life over somebody or speak truth and harsh truth, those words need to be done in deep love through deep relationship. I think I've told you the story one time. There was a lady in one of our churches, and she was not married. She was living with her boyfriend, and someone in our church said, spoke truth. It was didn't argue with that. It was truth. But she just was fuming mad. And she made a meeting with me, and she came into my office, and she was just fuming mad. She goes, can you believe what they said? And she's just fuming. And then I asked this lady, I said, man, do you know we love you? And she said, man, I know y'all love me. Y'all have been so good to me and cared for me. And I said, is this where God wants you at in your life? And she just started bawling, oh, Pastor, I know, we're working on it, we're walking it out. You know, I said the same thing. But it was built on a foundation of trust and a foundation of love. And I'm veering from my sermon a little bit, but I've talked a lot about this. We as the body of Christ have been very self-righteous. We want to make sure we stand up for the Word of God. We want to make sure we speak truth. And so it prides us. Oh, don't you worry, Pastor. I'll let them know. I just let them know they were in sin. I just let them know. I'm not saying we shouldn't speak truth. You hear me? I'm not saying grace just, you know, we just excuse all sin. Please don't hear me say that at all. But oftentimes we speak correction over someone else because we want to be that bearer of truth like I did with that other church. And it's done out of the wrong heart. And therefore our words don't bring health. All that person does will run from you and will never get close to you again. They will never open up to you because the heart is in the wrong place. When we speak truth into people's lives, it better be built out of a deep love and compassion for their lives. When we speak of hell, we should speak it with tears in our eyes. We should never glory that people are going to hell. It should cause us to weep. It should not be us in that evil world out there. It should be us in the compassion of us to go into that world and love people. And that is done with our words oftentimes. Be very careful that when you speak life and truth in the people, that we speak it with trust and deep love. Change your words and you'll change your world. I'm beginning to conclude, but I think there's a slide that talks about who I am in Christ. You need to be a people that at the back of Go 101, there is a page. I think there's a slide, Fernando, up there that just says who we are in Christ. There is a page at the back of Go 101 that just lists about 50 verses about who the Bible says. My Bible says that I am the head and not the tail. That's it. My Bible says that about me. My Bible says that I am an overcomer. My Bible says, the Bible says all the promises are yes and in Him, amen. That means you can insert your name in those verses. They're truth for you. The Bible has spoken those over you, and you need to remind yourselves of those things. I am alive to God. I am a king and a priest before God. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am a friend of God. Those are the words that you need to be speaking over your life. Those are the words you need to be speaking over your children and over your friends around you. As we conclude, what are you speaking over yourself? What are you speaking over others? Our words not only affect the things in the natural, they affect the things in the spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? To recap, our words come from the heart. What we say has meaning and they come from deep within us. Our words can be a destructive force or a productive force. The question for us today is, what kind of words are you speaking? Are they productive of people's lives or are they simply just destructive? Our words speak life and our words speak death. Psalm 119:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Would you just bow your heads right now? Thank you, God. Perhaps you're here in this place. Perhaps your mom or your dad. Maybe it was even a teacher. Spoke something over you that the enemy has just spoken over and over and over. Those words were destructive. And the Lord wants to break those off you today. And if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you would just raise your hand, just say, "Man, there were some things that were spoken over me that were destructive." If that's you, just raise your hand and put it down. Thank you. Thank you. If you are here today and in your own words that you spoke, whether you're speaking them over your children, maybe over your spouse, maybe over yourself, and you said, man, Pastor, I want to break those in my life. I don't want to speak those things. If you would just raise your hand, just quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? One of the things that I'm going to pray is that you would be a person that just speaks life. Now, there is a difference between flattering somebody and it being very unauthentic. Man, I've been around unauthentic people and it didn't mean much to me. But when people that just are authentic speak life. One of the things that people said about Wendy was she was just such a strong woman and yet this authentic woman that just speaks life and her words are encouraging. What a true definition. Man, I like to be around people that speak life. Man, I need to be around people that speak life. I need to be around people that see the vision that God has for Go Church. Man, I want people to say that of me. I want people to say, man, I love being around Pastor Lee because he's such an encourager. Man, that's my journey. Man, I want to be a big encourager for people's lives. I want to be behind them, just pushing them forward. That's what I want my words to do. Would our leaders make their way up? If you are here and perhaps you're far away from Jesus, man, you've walked away. And you have just felt through this message, through the worship this morning, this today is your day to come home, man. There are leaders up here. We want to pray with you. If you have never met Jesus personally, if you've never welcomed him into your life, man, I would love for you to do that today. If you are here and words that were spoken over you, the enemy has used to bombard you. Man, may we defeat that in Jesus' name. If the words that you speak are destructive and you say, man, Pastor, I'm working on those things. I'm going to close in prayer in a few minutes, but man, if you need to join us in prayer, that doesn't mean you have to share all the details. But if you want to join someone in prayer, let me tell you why I believe an altar call is so important. Because when we think it with our head, we forget it the moment we walk out of here. But when we step out and we join with someone, we put action to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. We've stepped out and become accountable to it. So it'll become real and alive in our life. And so if that's you, if you just wouldn't mind making your way up, if you want to join somebody in prayer, maybe the words spoken over you have just been harsh and painful, and you need to be healed. Maybe the words you speak over your family, over your spouse, are not healthy, and you want to break that. If you would come, just come. If you're sick in body and just need ministry this morning, perhaps you're need prayer for somebody else, if you would just come. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep you a couple of more minutes. Father, may we be reminded that the things that we speak with our mouths in the natural have spiritual consequences for the good and for the bad. And Father, there were people in our lives, people in leadership, that spoke hurtful things, and the enemy has used those to beat us down, to bombard us with thoughts that are not your thoughts, God. Father, we break those words. We break those curses off of our lives. May we be whole and well of those things, God. May us never return to those thoughts. The enemy has no hold over us with those thoughts anymore. And Father, for those that are in this place that realize that they struggle with the words that they speak, and they raise their hand and says, man, I need to change that. Father, would you give them the grace? Would you put them around people that will encourage and love and challenge them to change their words, God? Father, may we be a people, may we be a church that we change our words and we change the world around us, God. That when we speak truth, we speak it out of deep love for the person we're speaking truth to, God. That, Father, that people around us know that we love them. God, that we would do church differently, God. God, when someone walks through those doors, they feel loved. And when they leave those doors, they feel loved. When they meet in our go groups, in our small groups, God, it would be such an encouraging place, God. We would be a church that would lead through love like Jesus, God. Father, that's what we desire, God. That we would change our words, we would change our world in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. There's ministry still going on. Just be careful. Understand that. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die.